Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of March 2025. And tonight, for a while, he's our producer, he's Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
There he is, and you have right here in the studio with me, Aaron Gunanias. He is the president of Jug County Right to Life, and he's here tonight because he wasn't invited anywhere else.
Good to see you, Pastor. Hello, audience.
All right, there you go.
I wouldn't rather be, well, in many places than here.
But we have our special guest. Our special guest, she's pert and she's pretty, and she never goes out into the woods and screams like some women do nowadays. When she goes out into the woods, she gets willow bark. Miss Wendy Wilson.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
I bet you weren't ready for that, were you?
No, I was not.
All right, there you go. Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
You are, I think you are America's herbalist. That's who you are, America's herbalist.
Oh, well, I'll take it. Thank you.
All righty. We're gonna get into our scripture tonight, and the title of the message was "The Truth, the Justification, Crowns and Rewards." And we went through the truth and the justification. So tonight we're on crowns and rewards, and we're going to pick it up where we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we start in verse 23 through 27. Now, y'all out there know, you've been listening to me for years, that I can read, so I'm going to let Aaron read this so y'all know he can read too. Go ahead, Aaron.
"And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway."
Okay, now, it's very interesting because he's, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you." Make it a point that everything we do for the Lord's sake, we have to do, we give it our very best. We always give it our very best. Like, that's what we do tonight. When Wendy makes her herbs, her medicine, she does her very best. And so whatever we do for the Lord's sake, he goes on, "Know ye not that they which run a race run But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Remember, that was a saying years ago. That song, 100 men they'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Well, they changed that. Obama put all the women in there, so they had to lower the standards.
Jeez.
3 times they had to lower the standards. So it's different. It's instead of 100 men we'll test today, it's 100 people, and a lot of the men left. Then he goes on, and to say, and every man that striveth for mastery be temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. What do you think they mean by that corruptible crown? Can you give me an example of a corruptible crown?
Well, worldly things.
Yeah, let's. The word crown there means prize. It's the same thing as prize. What about WWE, Worldwide Wrestling? When those guys, they win that prize, the big belt. But
right.
Do you think maybe there's more theatrics than there is actual wrestling? Although, you know, I guess you're the best entertainer out there, and you got to be in very, very good shape, and that takes a lot of hard work to do that. But really, they're not wrestlers, they're entertainers, aren't they?
I mean they make it look good without hurting somebody, so it's kind of hard to tell in some cases.
Yeah,
well, the professional sports, though, they're the team trophies, they're worth quite a bit, and that would be an example of a corruptible crown.
Well,
or individual, this is more individual based.
You know, so what a good example of that would be?
Golf trophies.
I think a good example of that would be Super Bowl rings. They are one of the things they do with a Super Bowl. They sell them, and sometimes they counterfeit them too. Super Bowl rings would be a corruptible trophy, if you will.
Tennis trophies. That's individual sports.
Yeah. And so here. But he says, but I keep, therefore, so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. In other words, look, I'm in this thing. I'm in here. What is the crowns he wants to win are at the Bema Seat Judgment, huh? His goal is to receive many crowns, to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. But then he says this isn't what he wants to hear. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, that word there in the Greek is adokimos. The word adokimos means approved of. Adokimos means disapproved of, and that's what that word there is. It's adokimos. It means disapproved of. So what is Paul saying? He says this, and I myself should be a castaway. In other words, previously he had just preached over there in chapter 3 about you can lose your rewards without losing your salvation. He had said, in fact,
wood, hay, and stubble.
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't got there yet, but that's what we'll get to when he says this. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. And so, but he's saying this, that you could lose all your crowns, okay, but without losing your salvation. And that's, now think about that. And that's one of the things that we try to preach on people all the time. Get them to try to understand this. This is real. You're going to go into eternity. And I like to give the analogy of, do you want to go in as a private E1? Or would you rather go in and spend eternity, you know, as a 4-star general? Maybe that's not the best analogy. But anyhow, because in all of that time, Wendy, all of eternity, everybody will know what you did and what you failed to do for the Lord, huh?
So,
absolutely.
And so, Anyhow, I hope you learned a lesson there.
Don't you think a key point here, Pastor, is so we want to seek first the kingdom of God always? And when he's saying, I might, at the, in verse 27, I myself should be a castaway, that's a reference in context of the whole verse, but I keep my body under subjection.
That
meaning
means
that as he does kingdom business, you don't, even doing a good deed, if you don't have the right motive and attitude, meaning if it's not consistent with the word of God and the will of God, you can do a good deed and then you won't get a reward for it. But if you're doing it for the Lord, you'll be rewarded. And then you know that it's to the glory of God.
Well,
and that's what that means.
Actually, it's more like this, okay? When you have all of these people, your good deeds, your works don't really count until you're saved. The very first blessing that you can receive is that of salvation.
Okay? I'm talking about after salvation.
Okay, yeah. So, but after salvation, all of your works, okay, that are good works, all of your good works, you're going to get rewards for. They count, okay? In other words, now, I mean, if your motive is not the right motive, okay, if you're doing something that might be a good work, but even though if you're doing it for your own glory and not the glory of God, but
that would be wood, hay, and stubble. Because God he's righteous. He's got to judge based
on. Well, God would know why you're doing it. See, that's just the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, I mean, the point here is where he says, at the very end of 27, I myself should be a castaway. That's in reference to not doing things with the wrong motive or attitude.
That's
correct.
That's the word adokimus means I myself should be disapproved. It's not a castaway like we talk about. You get cast away on some island or left and deserted. It simply means disapproved of. In other words, I lose my rewards. That's what he's referring to.
Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
So you want to do things with the right heart is the fundamental.
Yeah. Well, I should always do. God gets the glory. God should always get the glory. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul says this, and this asks your question last night. This is when you asked me about the crown of righteousness. This is here what I was referring to. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul knew that his time was coming here. He was about to be crucified. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, in 50 years on the radio, I can say in the pro-life movement, I can actually say I fought the good fight. I've given it my best, okay? Doing it for the Lord's work. And this is what he wants you to be, for all of us to be able to say that, okay? Maybe not in everything. I haven't been the best in everything. But in that work, in the ministry, yes. And then he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Now, he's talking about the Bema Seat judgment, huh? And so that's what he's referring to. And so the crown of righteousness symbolizes, and we talked about that, the rewards for service which Christ will award at his judgment seat. We just read out of 1 Corinthians 3:14, also 2 Corinthians 5:10. We did that too. Well, that's what we just did.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just wondering, do you suppose people are going to wear them crowns all the time?
Well, those, it's not really those kind of crowns that you wear on your head. The word here is actually means trophies. It's a trophy. They use that word, the crown, symbolically. But Yeah.
Okay, you know, so it's not something you put on your mantle, but is it an insignia they wear on your clothing?
You know what? I guess I really won't know. It's a reward until we get there, huh? But it's not...
I was just wondering, you know, if other people would recognize by what you were wearing or had, you know... I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I know that when they refer to crown of many crowns, it used to be there would be one crown, but on that crown would be little inscriptions of crowns on a crown.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here, you know, I don't know. It's possible that we could have a crown that we wear on our heads, what he's referring to there, but... you know, they use that in that days as a reward when you got a reward, a crown. Like,
do you think any of those crowns factor into some sort of level of hierarchy, or doesn't it matter?
I don't think there's going to be a hierarchy in heaven. Okay.
We know that because of Jesus' parable with the talents, right?
We do know that there are levels of authority, though, and people will hold different positions. Like, even during the millennial kingdom, we're going to rule with Christ. It's like some being governors, some being senators, whatever. And we do know that we will be judging angels, okay? And so we'll actually have authority over some angels, but I don't think it's going to be anything like it is here today. There would be, I don't know. Well, we're going to have to find out, but I don't think you
would
see.
We're going to find out, yes. We are going to be surprised.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things that, you know, that we'll have to wait till we get there, huh? And
yeah. So, well, I mean, what we think, you know, because, you know, we think in worldly terms, so it's kind of hard to wrap our brain around heavenly things sometimes.
Right. And just like, you know, it's hard to be, you know, like we'll be given new names in heaven. So all of, you know, all this time, I'm just not getting used to the one I got now. And
Ernie, son of, what's your dad's name?
Raymond.
Ernie, son of Raymond.
There you go. It's, anyhow, we better move on. We're going to go over to Revelations chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 8. So go ahead and read 8 through 11.
And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
Okay, so here, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Who was the angel in the church of Smyrna?
I don't know.
The pastor. He's referring to the pastor. He's written these to the seven pastors of the seven churches there. And so several places in Scripture you have where angels are referred to as men, and then angelic beings are referred to Our men are referred to as angels. That word here is simple. It means messenger, to the messenger of the church in Smyrna. And so, for example, remember when Gabriel was sent to assist Daniel, and he was held up by Satan until Michael the archangel came and released him. And what did he? And Daniel says, "The man Gabriel." The man, he referred to him as the man Gabriel. And here, the angel of the church here is the pastor of the church, means messenger. Write these things. You know, Smyrna, that's an interesting thing because Smyrna was a port city about 35 miles north of Ephesus. But here's the thing about Smyrna. Today, Smyrna is still there. It's called Izmir. It goes by the name of Izmir. And what took place there was Polycarp, he was a convert of John, who was the writer of Revelation. Polycarp was martyred there in that place. And so he says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and alive. So who was the first and the last?
Jesus.
That was Jesus.
The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was alive and who was dead and now is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So he's not rich in worldly goods, but he's rich in spiritual goods, huh? I know the blasphemy of them that they say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Okay, so those that say they are Jews are not. They were referred to as the seeds, but not the sons of Abraham. The seeds of Abraham, but not the sons of Abraham. And Jesus referred to that over in John chapter 8 especially. And then here he's referring to them, those that say they are Jews but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Now, Paul referred to the one-third, those that converted, the converted Jews as the sons of Abraham, the sons of Abraham. And Jesus referred to that too, okay? And so today, for examples, if I was to say, could you give me some example today of who would be the seed but not the sons of Abraham? People like, how about Chucky Schumer? Chucky Schumer, he's a Jew. He wears his little yarmulke. But Chucky Schumer is not a believer.
Okay? Soros.
Oh, he's one of the worst, George Soros. What about Jamie Raskin?
He's a Jew.
Yeah.
He needs to retire from public office.
He needs to repent, like the others.
Absolutely.
And what about Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, she definitely needs to repent.
Oh yeah.
Dear God, we pray that Hillary repents.
Her real name was not Rodham, as you heard, Hillary Rodham. Her real name was Rosen, Hillary Rosen, okay? And they all like to have these, like Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark's real last name was Kane. And you know how, and I heard him, he didn't realize he was on C-SPAN. And the mics were hot. And, you know, it was over, he had finished speaking, and he was talking to these, to Jewish women. And he said, I'm a Jew too, and they said you are, and it's when he told him, he said my real name's Cain. Well, John Kerry. Yeah, his real name was Cohen. They changed his name so that his initials would be JFK, and he was supposed to. They warmed him up to John Kennedy. But Hillary, yeah, they had. It was a very interesting thing because they had a kosher kitchen in the White House. And remember that story when that Slick Willie came in and caught Hillary in bed with that woman who was used to be on Night Court. What was her name? The cute little blonde that played the defense attorney on Night Court. I'm trying to think.
I know
of
who you're talking about, but I don't know her name.
But anyhow, Slick, how I found out about it, we got because it was the kosher cook who happened to be there, and he heard everything. He was outside. He heard everything. And what happened was Slick came in and tried to get in bed with the two of them. And one of them threw an ashtray at him, the other threw a lamp at him. And the little secret, the female Secret Service agent, her job is to protect the president first. She had to take the two hits. So Hillary fired her for getting in front of Slick. And she sued him for big, they paid out of court, big bucks. Okay?
Jeez.
Yeah, but
so the cook called you?
Called Larry.
He called Larry.
You're saying
yeah.
the actress Nichols? And Hillary Clinton were together in bed?
Yeah, yeah. Hillary was bisexual. Huh. Yeah. In fact, one time Slick had said to Larry Patterson, he said, "I wish I could get the women that Hillary gets." Okay, so, but yeah, that's I got that.
You mean Larry Nichols?
Yeah. The cook had called Larry Nichols, told him the whole story, and Larry called me right away and said, "Here, guess what just happened?" And I said, "What happened?" And he had it all.
Well, back to the scripture.
Well, we're out of time for tonight. Hang tight. We'll have to pick this up here tomorrow. We'll be back right after this.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
You say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right to make a stand. And I'm proud to say on my wedding day that my woman was not a man.
A great big ugly man.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
All right, I'd rather be right than wrong, too. And we can stay right if we stay to the right, right in the Word of God. And
Amen.
That's as far right as you get, right? That's all righty. You know, Wendy had a topic. You see, it has something to do with dementia, but I can't remember. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Hey, Wendy, if I was to need some natural herbs, would I go out in the woods and get them? Where would I get my nerve besides from apothecary herbs? Take it away.
Yeah, if you're wanting to wildcraft herbs, you know, yourself, you know, you could if you know what you're looking for in the woods, you can wildcraft herbs. Usually people will go to your health food stores or, you know, some of these big grocery stores that deal with wellness areas, and you can buy finished products or bulk products. That's where a lot of people get them.
What if I just go right out in the front yard and dig up some dandelion roots?
And yeah, dandelion root, you just want to make sure, you know, it's not been treated with chemicals. And if you want the root, you harvest it in the fall in September. That's when all the nutrition goes back to the root in the fall.
Oh, well, then you'd have to know, because the flower would be gone mostly by then.
Right.
You'd have to know how to recognize the leaves, huh?
You would. You would have, yeah. So, you know, if you study herbs, you kind of know that. You'll know trees. You'll know all kinds of things. If you're School of Natural Healing out in Springville, Utah, when I went there, they didn't have any online classes, but they do now. So a lot of people can take a lot of online classes today and not even have to be in Utah.
You know those bug-out kits that we made, you know, in case you had to get up and leave in a hurry? In that bug-out kit, I had two books, and they show you how to identify all of these herbs, things that you can eat out in the woods, and then there. How to recognize them, because you don't want to get a hold of the wrong things.
What do dandelion roots do?
Well, dandelion roots kill cancer.
That's what Winter Medical University discovered, by accident, that it kills all known cancer cells. It has a protein marker in it, and cancer is very much attracted to protein. Healthy cells do not uptake dandelion, but the cancer cells do.
So, you know, cancer, see, and that's one of the things, like, in my diet, I eat a lot of nuts, and nuts have got a lot of protein, huh?
Well, they do, lots of minerals, and it's a healthy level of fat, so it's, if you want to lose unwanted fat, you have to have healthy fat to do it. So, and usually a handful of nuts is sufficient for most people.
Yeah, I love nuts, and so,
they're good and compact. They got protein. I mean, I used to snack on nuts on a busy day, and I didn't have time for lunch, and that really held you over, really.
Yeah, Aaron's got a little pack of nuts right here. I just gave it to him.
Now, Wendy, with the nuts, as other packaged foods, I mean, this says non-GMO.
Right.
Is that the standard with everything?
No, some of the nuts are not. Now, almonds, they've messed around with almonds, so they're genetically modified, which, then all the almond milk and stuff comes into play, and people worry about that. So you have to continuously check. There's a list, I believe, on the CDC's website on what has been genetically modified, and they keep adding to it, so the list is getting longer. But some people have sensitivity to nuts. I can't eat certain nuts. It's one of the top four food allergens.
Peanuts, I think. So, peanuts are one of the,
one of the... peanuts is on the list. But, anybody can be allergic to pecans, walnuts, all kind of nuts. And how you get them, how they've been processed, a lot of them have oils on them. And so a lot of times they can go bad. Some of them have a lot of sugar and flavorings on them. So, nuts are expensive. Have you not seen them in the store? A little can of something is, $10 or more for just a little bitty can.
Well, if you know where to go to get them, you can get them a lot less than that. Right, Aaron?
We sure do know.
Are you going to the Amish?
The Amish have some good deals.
Yeah, they have some terrific deals, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they got pecan trees and things like that. Nuts are full of minerals. And the one thing about the human body is we need to replenish minerals. If we're not getting them in our produce, then you're going to have to get them somewhere, and almonds or not almonds, but your nuts have the minerals that help replenish that. And once you have replenished minerals, a lot of times your hunger is satisfied, and then you're not munching on empty calories.
I take a cap full of, it's probably about an ounce of that colloidal minerals every day.
Do
you think our body absorbs all that?
It's a liquid. Sure. The colloidal, nothing to be really digested or broken down like a solid food source. So sure, it goes right into the body, usually in 60 seconds. Yeah.
Well,
liquids and powders are my choice because they're very efficient and they're easy to adjust as far as what you need to take.
All right, and I take all of the stuff that you have because it works. And
we sent you some things, and I think you're doing better on them. giving you a little bit more vim and vigor.
Yeah. Well, it's up to you to keep me alive, Wendy.
Oh, okay. Well, me and the Lord deserves. We'll do our best.
All right. Very good. Now, let's get back to this topic. There's certain minerals that they're trying to use to fight dementia.
So medicine's been looking to herbs for some time for dementia, Alzheimer's. This is a report from Science that was looking into herbs for Alzheimer's, and they often look to natural plants to see if there's a way, an option of making a prescription medicine from the plant. And if they're successful, they market the drug as a more natural form to attract, you know, a segment of the population that's shying away from petrochemical medications. So the problem with this approach is patented medications are never the same as the original source, or it would not meet the requirements for the patent. So as you know, and now are aware, prescribed medications, even if they contain a natural source, tend to not function the same as the natural source does in the human body, and it offers side effects. Well, this was a study, March 2025, Squibb Research Institute. They discovered the healing benefits for cognitive function with the herb rosemary. So in the 1930s, if you recall, we talked about this, Pastor, rosemary was also used to help with cataracts due to the rosmarinic acid in it. And so the original research was done by Dr. Burton Cooper.
Now, is rosemary, is that a leaf? Is that a leaf or is that a berry? Or what is rosemary?
No, it's a leaf. It's usually people use it medicinally to season dishes, rosemary, sage, all those type of, culinary herbs. But in ancient times, they were considered currency. People needed them to be healthy, and so it was considered a currency. So a lot of people in the temple would pay their tithes in herbs. So, but this research on Dr. Cooper in the 20s, his research using rosmarinic acid was to reverse a cataract was also verified by Glasgow Medical Journal in 1938, and also Scientific Reports duplicated the study in 2017. So the treatment of rosmarinic acid fell from favor, though, in the 1940s when intraocular lenses were created, cataract surgery. Now, according to Squibb's research, there are certain compounds in rosemary they're interested in, also in sage, and they're called cosnic acid, and their report addresses it's helpful against inflammation that's often associated with dementia cases. However, scientists are kind of unable to work with the organic isolated form of carnosic acid, stating it was unstable, and then they were forced to create what is a synthetic form of it. So the research did get published in the March 2025 Journal of Antioxidants, and this was all done on animal trials, Pastor. They didn't move yet to human clinical trials on this. Here is a quote from the report. While pure carnosic acid is too unstable to be used as a drug, scientists have now synthesized the stable form, and this compound is fully converted in the gut before it's being absorbed into your bloodstream. So they're using this to reduce inflammation and thereby improve dementia cases. And this has been supposedly done in lab animals, okay? So the research is stating that analysis of the mice brain tissue in those samples showed the drug decreased inflammation in the brain. And since rosemary and sage are on the FDA safe list, the scientists anticipate kind of smooth sailing as they move the research into the human clinical trials. And I will say this, that this was back in 2015. The Journal of Pharmaceutical Healthcare and Sciences printed a report where they said ginkgo biloba, we use that for memory. They said it was also used for dementia cases. And the reason they were using ginkgo is it improved not only memory and a lack of concentration, but it improved depression, it improved dizziness or vertigo, and improved tinnitus, ringing in the ears. Ginkgo.
Ginkgo does?
Ginkgo biloba, yeah. Yeah.
I've had tinnitus since a teenager.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people have that ringing thing. But they have a real challenge with this study that they're working with the dementia. They said the synthetic form will cross the blood-brain barrier, and it activates antioxidants and anti-inflammatory genes, but this drug compound oxidizes easily, making it unstable as a drug because it has a short shelf life. So they've got some work to do on it. Kind of interesting, though, that it becomes unstable when they isolate some components of rosemary that they want or from sage that they want. Because what God put in the plant, all the alkaloids and all the other components work together in the human body. See, God created that. And so when you start to change it, you're going to get different effects. So it's sort of like, reinventing the wheel or changing God's copyright. It's just not going to work the same. According to Stuart Lipton, medical doctor at this research, Squibb's research, he said, we did multiple different tests of memory, and they were all improved with the drug. And it didn't just slow down the decline, it improved memory virtually back to normal. Analysis of tissues also showed increased neurosynaptic density and decreased formation of the aggregates of amyloid plaques. And now, amyloid plaques is a big question mark, because I've read some research where amyloid plaques don't have anything to do with Alzheimer's. It's kind of all been made up science, so kind of take that with a grain of rice. So science plans to continue the research, possibly open the door for this drug when they finally get it together. They want to use it for type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and neurodegenerative conditions like Parkinson's disease. Okay, so let's talk about rosemary and sage for just a minute here in its whole food state. So what it is about these herbs is they act not only as an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant, but apparently rosemary and sage offer all these antioxidants that work with the anti-inflammation action in the plant that activates enzymes. So here's the key. When you have all the components in the plant, it will activate enzymes. So the chemistry of rosemary and sage have many compounds that work together, often called phenolic compounds. And when they are together and they're not isolated, they perform various benefits. And here's the list. Your defense mechanisms are improved. That's your immune system. They also help regulate growth with chemical messengers, so your DNA and your cells all communicate really well. They also obviously offer the antioxidants and antimicrobial benefits, anti-inflammation, also anti-aging, anti-allergy, and cardio protection. So Squibb says this, the carnosic acid is an antioxidant and an anti-inflammatory compound, and it works by activating enzymes that make up the body's natural defense system. So when they change it, though, they're getting different results, and it oxidizes too quickly, and it's unstable. So you're going to find, though, phenolic compounds in these foods, vegetables, coffee and tea, wine, onions, broccoli, cabbage, citrus fruits, grapes, and berries. So now you're going to get these compounds and a lot of those enzymes to give you a lot of those benefits. So why are they looking at these herbs? Well, why is medical science looking into herbs for your new source of treatment for dementia? Well, most of the current drug therapies have little to no benefit. Cultures that regularly use herbs for culinary and medicinal benefits have a lower risk of Western ailments like dementia. So it's reasonable to ascertain if rosemary and sage preserved meat from spoiling in the ancient world, it's a no-brainer that they're preserving humans as well if you're using them. So which is probably why science looked into them to begin with. However, the goal for your medical science is massive profits, as you know. They really don't want to find a cure, but they want patients back to thinking better, but not cured, because they want you to keep taking the drug. So massive profits often leads to, in medical science, lots of fraud, and your outcomes and patients, not in the best interest of patients. So,
well, medical science, it seems it's all they do is treat the symptoms. And
yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's where they get the most money. Curing you doesn't get them hardly any. One treatment and you're cured, that's not going to work for them, see?
Yeah.
So our creator designed herbs for specific benefits, and this is why when chemistry is manipulated and changed, a different outcome develops, and it begs to reason, why not use the original herbs that God created? Two reasons for the majority of people are they hesitate to use herbs, to invest in the out-of-pocket funds and the time to use natural therapies, because natural therapies can take 3 or 4 months to, show some results, okay? And people just they're impatient. They want something that works right away. But lately, more people, though, are becoming, Pastor, unsure of scientific research and the therapies it's producing. So during your COVID, for instance, 60% of the U.S. population, like the United Kingdom, also trusted in the treatments medical science was pushing, and roughly 40% of the population hesitated and then tried natural therapies instead. So this behavior was not lost on your health authorities, Pastor. And because of the fallout of those COVID treatments, a lot of skepticism of the medical science has increased. Now, a big question is, what would the United States population do if there's another pandemic? Well, it would probably be determined by what kind of viral pathogen it would be and its lethal status. Also, if enough time had passed since the last pandemic and people, tend to forget what happened with the COVID. And then the kind of pressure that may be initiated by authorities to secure compliance. So those are the three big things that would determine how the nation would respond.
Well, I think right now, because you have so many people that took the COVID shot, the kill shot, and they're getting sick now. It's 5 years later, and it's hitting them hard. It's really hitting them hard. And so people
Didn't the frontline doctors tell us it would be 2 to 5 years? Didn't I?
Yeah, Sherry Tenpenny, when she came on here, when they first started on that, and in fact, you were here 3 weeks before the first people took the first shot. We were warning people. You came on and told us, look, do you know that all of the test animals, every single one died. Don't take this. It's not a vaccine. Then we had the fellow that invented it, come on, and he said it's not a vaccine. It's a bioweapon, okay?
Right.
And then
And basically that's what Dr. Anthony Norris told me back in the
90s. Malone was the guy So now people, they're having a much harder time. In fact, I was talking to some at the Cleveland Clinic. Of course, they still push it, and they say, nobody wants the shot anymore. Nobody wants to take it. Even the people that worked there, they won't take them in, so.
Right. I mean, it's just I don't know even why they're shipping it and making it and sending it to clinics, because people aren't really lining up like they used to for it. But you know what we did at Apothecary Herbs, Pastor, is we have a formula that's based on John Christopher's formulation called Brain Concentrate, and it does have the rosemary and the ginkgo in it. So you have to add a little bit of rosemary to the ginkgo and a little bit of circulatory herb to get it to the brain. So that's good for focus, concentration, cognitive issues. And we also added the rosemaric acid plants, your sage and rosemary, to the cataract macular degeneration liquid that you take by mouth. It's not anything you put in the eye. But that's based on science, which was proven 3 times on Dr. Cooper's report. So, it's plants are amazing. God made some amazing plants.
He sure did. You know what he was doing. Mm. And folks, you can get all of these herbs that Wendy's talking about by calling 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And people always want to talk. Listen, do you want to open the phone line and take maybe calls for maybe 10 or 15 minutes? Because everybody always wants to talk to you.
Yeah, we can do it for a little bit. And we're running the sale, so it's 20% off orders of $65 or more. And there's a coupon code on the homepage, LUCKY25. You could use that also over the phone. So if you're thinking about immune support, detoxing, metabolic strengthening, this is a good time because you'll save 20%.
All right, we're going to open the phone lines. Folks, we have a new number tonight because it was either Aaron or Style broke the old number. No, only kidding. But we do have a new number tonight, 866-525-0955. 866-525-0955. I'll tell you that one more time. I knew that there was something wrong when Cliff didn't call in. When Cliff didn't call in, it was over. I knew. Something's wrong. 866-525-0955. That's the phone number. So if you have a question or a comment, and I know you
saboteurs.
Do. For Wendy. And we were struggling with that last night, weren't we, Style?
Yeah, we had one line open, one line out. It was a very confusing time.
And people were texting me saying, I can't get through. And so, anyhow, but we can now at 866-525-0955, unless the gremlins get a hold of that number, too. But, yeah, you can call, go to the Power Herbs up on the Internet. Go to thepowerherbs.com or call 866-229-3663. And especially get that formula. Now, I had that memory formula that you're talking about, but I think I used it all up.
We can send you some. I'll make myself a note to send you some tomorrow.
Brain Concentrate Memory. That's what it was called.
Right.
And so, yeah, I had the 1 ounce bottle, but I'd like that bigger bottle.
It comes in different sizes. 1, 2, 4, and 8 ounce. The most popular size, though, roughly is the 2 ounce.
Yep. Alrighty. Phone lines are open. 866-525. We're coming up to a break. 0955. 866-525-0955. Wendy will take your calls for about 10 minutes because she's got to get her beauty sleep, right?
Sleep's important.
And then we have a whole lot of, while they're doing that very quickly, a couple of things I wanted to this is lightning rounds. The Democrats, we're going to talk about that. They're still going after President Trump with lawfare. They're bringing these judges out who are way out of their lines, way out of their authority, going after Trump. And I'm wondering if our so-called DOJ can start arresting some of these judges for what they're doing. Very quick, lightning round. SpaceX, the rescue mission, was scrubbed today. So those people, Biden left those astronauts up there. Oh, Lord, they've been up there for a long time. What a terrible thing here in Indiana. You've got a guy. He's one of those trans things. This guy is in prison. He's covered with tattoos. He's in prison for strangling his own little 2-year-old daughter to death. Killed her. And so, but now he wants to become a woman now, and he wants to go to the women's prison. So he wants to get trans surgery, and the state wants the taxpayers to pay for that in Indiana. If I was in Indiana and I was a taxpayer, I'd definitely let the governor know in no uncertain terms.
Man.
Well, hang tight. We're going to be back right after this with a whole lot more. We'll take your calls. So don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries.
14781 Speary Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.